Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service this morning as we come together to celebrate Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem 1 week before his resurrection. This morning, as our worship celebrates, we stand with our Christian sisters and brothers in the crowd, stirred up, shouting our praises to the King, our Saviour, while the rest of the city says, "Who is this?" Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And now was the time. This was the place to secure that salvation. And as we prepare our hearts to worship, Jesus entered into Jerusalem humbly on a donkey, seeking to transform the people. People gathered from everywhere to wave palm branches and praise him as royalty. Jesus enters into our lives humbly, seeking to transform our hearts and lives. Let us worship Jesus Christ together and receive him as our King of Kings. Hosanna to the highest. And so as we observe and celebrate the start of Holy Week, the week of Passion, as some call it, the final days of Jesus' earthly ministry, we remember today was the beginning of the end of Jesus' mission on earth. And so we raise our voices to Lord to praise, giving our Lord all the glory. Let's sing together number 9. All glory, Lord, and honour. Realised when we sang that hymn during lockdown that we had 5 verses. I feel a bit shortchanged with the 3 in Mission Praise. 5, yeah. Getting complaints from the organist already. As we come to think today of Palm Sunday, as we remember, as we join in the celebrations, the crowd's actions along the way give rise to the name of Palm Sunday. A large crowd spread their cloaks on the road. Others cut branches from the palm trees, which actually only John records in his gospel, and they spread them on the road. Many churches still distribute palm leaves. They were waved in victory and kept in homes as a daily reminder of the victory of Christ. And over time, we know that it's become shaped into crosses to symbolise the ultimate victory of Christ and his sacrifice. But now we have them as a sign of peace and of triumph. So boys, would you mind distributing the crosses to the congregation, please? Thank you. And as we prepare ourselves to come into our Lord's presence in prayer, just have a look at your cross and feel it and touch it. Try not to break it. Sorry, look at it. You go on. Thank you, William. Thanks, Matthew. Everyone got a palm cross waving at me? Look at that. We're part of the crowd. Woo-hoo. Right, hold on to your cross as we pray. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we prepare to worship you today and this week, help us to call to mind the events in Jesus' life so we can see their significance for our present lives and for the future that you are preparing for all creation. We come today to praise you for your salvation of the world through Jesus Christ. He entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was proclaimed Messiah and King by those who spread garments and branches along his way. Just as we carry these branches, may we follow Christ in the way of the cross, that dying and rising with him, we may enter into your kingdom through Jesus Christ. Like the people who greeted Jesus as he entered Jerusalem and later pronounce crucify him, we are fickle people who often deny Christ in our thoughts, words, and deeds. Remembering the events of Jesus last week, help us to see ourselves for what we are, sinners in need of a Saviour, a Saviour that we have, praise God, in Christ. As we look at the cross, as we hold on to it, Lord, we find ourselves again at the foot of your cross. In honesty and hope, and in the peace of this place, we confess now our sins to you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we can find that peace in our hearts only by coming to you and sharing our innermost thoughts and fears and worries with you. Draw us closer to you this Holy Week that our eyes may catch the vision of your tears and our hearts the wonder of your grace. And so as we come to pray for people beyond ourselves, hold on to your cross in your right hand. Place your left thumb on the left cross piece. And so we pray for our world. Loving God, thank you that your peace reaches into every situation across our world. Be close to those places that need peace this day. Again, Lord, we bring Ukraine to you and the situation there. We bring to you Russia, Lord, and ask that you would do a miracle in that place, in the heart of President Putin. We pray for the people of Afghanistan, Lord, who continue to struggle. For Syria and Iraq and all those places, Lord, that are on our hearts and minds. Lord, hear our prayer. And so we place our left thumb on the right side of the cross piece, and we pray for people in need. Thank you, Lord, that your hope reaches into every situation. Be close to those who are ill or sad this day. We pray for the homeless. We pray for those who are fearful of what the future holds due to the rising cost of different things going on. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes to be able to help where you would place us. Lord, hear our prayer. And so we place our left thumb on the base of the cross piece as we pray for our community. Lord, we pray for all of the communities that each one of us represents, the places where we live, the people around us. We thank you that your joy reaches into our homes. Help us to know that you are with us every day. Lord, we pray for those who are yet to hear the good news, who live in fear and disappointment, who are looking for hope. Lord, may we be that light in our community that others would want to know more about you. And so we place our thumbs on the top of the cross piece. We pray, Lord, for all those who will lead church services today, not just in this country, Lord, but worldwide. We pray for all those who will teach us about Jesus. Lord, we thank you that your love is shared through your church. We pray, Lord, for your wisdom to those who would help us know that the good news of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you want us to know more and more about you. And through your holy word, Lord, when we read it, we can find out about you. Lord, hear our prayer. And now we pray, place our thumbs in the centre of the cross piece. And Lord, we pray for ourselves. Loving God, we thank you for Jesus and the love that he showed to each one of us. We thank you that he wants us and helps us to follow him through the power of his Holy Spirit, that he seeks to transform us and help us, Lord, to understand more about his love for ourselves and for those that we come into contact with. Lord, help us to follow you more and more each day. Lord, thank you that we can remember you, and through this week, as we spend more time with you, Lord, we can bring our praises to you. Bless us now, Lord, as we say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we continue our praises as we sing number 242, Hosanna, which in the Hebrew means, O save. Let's join together and sing Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna.
We've got to sing it again. Go for it. So we come to the event that is recorded in all four Gospels. It's not many things that are recorded in all four, but they're all similar but different. And the triumphal entry marks Jesus' authority as Messiah. He's acclaimed as the Messiah, yet he enters humbly riding on a donkey. And as I said, Jesus is now at the last stage of his mission. He approaches Jerusalem, which will be the scene of the last great act of his earthly life. Thank you, Chris.
Okay, if you'd like to follow me reading in your NIV Bibles, page 1054, it's Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 44. Page 1054. Okay. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Now, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' I tell you, he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you even knew, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you."
Bless you, thank you. Kind of go from the excitement and the enthusiasm and the praise to the part where Jesus wept for Jerusalem. And I don't know you, but every time I hear it read or read it myself, it kind of gets you there. In the midst of all the praise of the moment, he knew in his heart that it wouldn't be long before those people would turn their backs on him, betray him, and crucify him. And his heart broke with the reality of how they needed a saviour. And we'll think about that in a bit more. First of all, as they made way through all the distractions and things that threatened them, let us make way as we sing number 457 to our King of Kings and pray that his kingdom would come into our community now.
Thank you. now.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, take away all the distractions, all the things that would stop us from hearing your word. Lord, may we come with hearts of praise to hear more of what you have to say to us today. Bless us now as we listen out for your word. Amen. How quickly public opinion can change. When Jesus entered Jerusalem for the Passover feast, he was welcomed by crowds cheering to have him made king. And we know by the end of the same week, the crowds were demanding that he be crucified. I've said before that much is said and much has been studied regarding crowd mentality. If I'd been saying that over the last 2 years, we would have gone, what's a crowd? Isn't it brilliant that we're back worshipping this Easter time together? And there is a standing joke that if a British person, don't laugh, Michelle and Anton, see a queue, they will join it. And sometimes it's easier to go along with the crowd. It's much harder to make a stand. Sometimes we feel like we are making a stand alone. So do we recognize ourselves in the fickle crowds? As we watch and start to rewatch sporting events and seeing crowds supporting their teams, most of the time they're cheering. I love to cheer for my team when it's winning. Some of us have had to wait a bit longer. I love being part of something that's new and exciting. But sometimes it's a lot of energy, isn't it? And it's energy sapping when we struggle to maintain our enthusiasm. I love following Jesus when he's doing the exciting and the impossible. But sometimes I retreat when he expects me to do something difficult. Exciting to follow Jesus when we can do it as part of a crowd. It's easy to trust him when he outwits the clever people, as we see with the Pharisees, the people that were in power. So let's put ourselves back in that crowd on that day, that week. I'd like to think that I would have followed Jesus all the way to the cross, but I have my doubts. After all, if I don't or won't or can't speak up for him in places where it's safe, what makes me think I could do it in a crowd of opponents? But how thankful I am that Jesus died for fickle followers so that we can become devoted followers. Christ deserves full-time followers. During our Lent studies, we've been sharing through David's life in his reflection that we see recording as Psalm 23 and Jesus' I am statements. When Jesus reveals himself as the resurrection and the life to his friends and the Jews who'd come along to mourn, as was their custom, the chief priests and the Pharisees plot together to bring about the death of Jesus. He's lit the blue touch paper. But he's not going to retreat. In the interim, we see that Jesus goes to Ephraim with his disciples, and then after a period of teaching and speaking about his crucifixion to his disciples, his anointing at Bethany, Jesus travels back to Jerusalem for his final week, and we join him at the triumphal entry into the city. As we are emerging from the last 2 years of isolation and fear, it's easier again to imagine ourselves in a crowd. And for those who've not quite yet done it, we can remember the times when we go to shows and to concerts and carnivals, sporting events. It's easy to get drawn into the occasion, into the excitement, the celebration and the joy. And we can feel part of that from our reading this morning. But we can also see so much more if we step out of the crowd and observe what's going on. Like we did yesterday during the quiet time. Sometimes we need that time to see what we often miss when we're doing what everyone else is doing. What an amazing contrast there was between the joyful welcome of Jesus and with our Lord's tears. Many thought they had received him in a way that was appropriate, as someone of great importance, but they'd missed who he really was. As we think about, and as I always say, I take great pride when I present a 3-point sermon. It means that I wasn't trained for wasted. We think, as the first hymn tells us, about his praise and the passion and the peace. Because the praise, we know, as I've said, very shortly this week will turn to jeers. We see the passion of our Lord for the people and the peace that only he can offer. Jesus is weeping with sorrow, reflecting the heart of God as he contemplates the blindness of people who have and will reject him. And therefore, for their fickleness and the hostility he was about to meet in Holy Week. And we know that within a generation, the city would be obliterated. We can see already in the opening verses that the Pharisees are hostile. The crowds are crying out their blessing that we actually see the words of in Psalm 118. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And the Pharisees want to take away the joy of the moment, the expression of praise. And again, they're reprimanded by Jesus. If the disciples stop expressing their praise, then the very stones will cry out. It's a lovely thought, isn't it? And we know that in God's power that could happen. But the Pharisees knew that they were powerless to stop the excitement of the people. Did Jesus mean that the stones would literally start shouting praises? I'm sure that if he willed it, they would. But often we see in the Bible where creation is used as a poetic expression of praise and joy. They would have been familiar with that too. We read throughout the Psalms, "You will go out in joy." Jesus is telling them that it's more likely that the impossible would happen than for the King of Kings to enter his city without honour. Colossians 1 says that all creation was made for God's glory. All things were created through him and for him. Everything in creation declares his praise. Yet humans are created in God's image. So we are the ones who should be praising God. Jesus specifies that the people's acclamation should be encouraged, not stifled, because he will be praised. Everyone and everything was created for the pleasure of our sovereign Lord. But what to do with those rock-hard hearts of the people? God had walked and worked among them in his Son, Jesus Christ. We read, he came to his own did not receive him. That broke his heart, and it still does today. They did not know, as it says in Scripture, the time of their visitation. And with a heart full of compassion and sorrow, Jesus wept over the blindness and the impending misery of Jerusalem. It reveals so powerfully our Lord's loving human nature, the compassion for his people, his mercy, and the life he offers to those who believe. Earlier in Luke chapter 13, we read the Lord had said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it. And so Jesus weeps with anguish. Our all-knowing Son of God knew those fickle people who were crying out, "Blessed is the King," would soon be shouting, "Crucify him." He knew he would be betrayed and denied. The conspiracy against him would appear to succeed. Unbelief and rejection of Jesus, our Saviour, breaks God's heart because he knows the consequences. You see that amazing picture in Revelation 3, verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them and eat with them, and they with me." We see there, he doesn't just barge into our lives. He waits to be let in. It's our choice. We're free to choose, but we're not free from the consequences of our choice. As we took our palm cross in prayer earlier, do we look at our community and weep? In Jesus' tears, we see the beauty of his mercy. And so we should become merciful like him and because of him and for his glory, as Jesus was motivated to do everything for God's glory. And as we look at those last few verses, the reason for all these judgments, why does Jerusalem not know, with all those important people around, the time of her visitation? Do we read into this that they really didn't know? How then could they be held responsible? Those questions are important today, and so are the answers, because there are many people today who think they know what they need to do. They have head knowledge, but not a true heart knowledge. They are like stone. We see in Jesus' words in verse 42, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace." The day when the true Messiah and King came. We continue to pray, "Thy kingdom come," but for them, more narrowly, it meant the one they'd been waiting for, Israel's King. He who is peace, the one who would lead his people to salvation. Peace that he brings, the shalom, which goes beyond the absence of conflict and turmoil into a place of positive blessing and a right relationship with God. But they didn't accept Jesus, all the terms of the peace that he offers, even though he's always eager and willing to make peace with anyone who will accept him. And now they're hidden from their eyes. He is hidden from their eyes. They no longer have that God-given ability to believe. To fulfill the prophecies as we read them in Luke chapter 18, Jesus is moving intentionally towards suffering and death. It tells us, "For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spat upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise." The rejection, the unbelief, the hostility was not a surprise to Jesus. That was part of the plan. It's harder for us, isn't it, as we look back on those events with our, as I call them, New Testament eyes. Are we like the disciples, moved to rejoice and praise God? But are we moved too to weep over our community? Jesus continues to offer peace to this world. We read Paul's words in 2 Corinthians that Jesus continues his ministry of reconciliation through his ambassadors, those who are new creations in Christ. He writes, "In Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us." as we think about praying for our community, as we've already started to do, as I said last week, as you saw the video, some of you, next month we have the opportunity to download the Love Wickham prayer app and to pray for the streets in our community that we live in. And we can join with God's creation in rejoice and praise our Creator God with a loud voice, for He is worthy. Perhaps take a stone like we did yesterday in the quiet day. Find a stone, any stone, hold on to it. Pray for the community, and as you release it, that God would move in a new and wonderful way. Have that same passion and compassion as Jesus had. As we pray for a people that are seeking hope, for those that are in need of a saviour. Indeed, many look to social media and to the government and other things for direction. We pray that Christ will be revealed in ways that we can never imagine. Let's pray for people that they would believe and have life in Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. And we pray, and our hearts have already been stirred, I know, from over these last few weeks with what's happening in Ukraine. We pray that where there is so much pain and suffering in the world, that we should be moved to show Jesus and the things that make for peace. May we too move towards them as part of God's plan, that they may know Shalom, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and only in Him and through Him, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Human nature is such that one day it can receive Christ with palms and rejoicing, and the next send Him to the cross. Multitudes of people admire Christ, but few become consistent disciples. How about us? Are we just one of the admirers or a true disciple? Heavenly Father, we give You thanks, for You are good and Your mercy is endless. Here we stand at the start of this Holy Week, this week in which Your church remembers Jesus' passion and death. We are distracted by many things. Turn our eyes now to the One who comes in Your name, the One who opens the gates of righteousness, the One who answers when we call. Lord, we bless You for shining Your light upon us and for sending Your Son to us in human frailty to walk the road that we walk. Open our eyes that we may see Him coming and may praise Him with a pure heart and may walk in the way of His suffering and share also in His wonderful resurrection. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and Your Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. So as Jesus continues His journey, we journey into Holy Week with Him. As I've said before, I love the eloquent way that some of our predecessors express the events of Passion Week. Words that have sometimes been lost to us over time, but let's not let them hide the significance of what God has done for us. So let's praise together as we sing number 580. Ride on, ride on in majesty.
Oh,
say, ride on, Lord Jesus, upon a colt, over cloaks, under branches, ride on, Lord Jesus, towards a city, through its gates, past the crowds, ride on, Lord Jesus. As hosannas fade and enemies sneer, as danger closes and friends falter, ride on, Lord Jesus, showing the way, teaching the truth, bringing life for all, in the name of the Lord. Ride on, Lord Jesus. Amen. I look forward to sharing with you on Good Friday and Easter Sunday, our two services, and if you would like an egg on Easter Sunday breakfast of the hen variety, please see Kathy.